The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And we are ready to hit on a number of NFL and college football topics from this past week. Joining us on the Mercer Well Service phone line is a familiar voice with our program that helps us each and every week. Of course, he's got the credentials, three-time national champion, the one and only, the double nickel, Jason Peter. How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you, E?
Oh, a bit overwhelmed with this big move to Houston, but we're getting settled in. So let's get back on topic here. There's so many things to hit on. And I think first and foremost, let's talk about the NFL. I want you to provide some insight on Robert Griffin, RG3, his comments on his frustration with his playing time. And I found it a bit surprising. I mean, I know he's entitled to his own opinions, but I was just saying, you know, Robert, tap on the brakes and don't share this publicly. If you have something to say to coach, go talk to him one-on-one.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I think he was able to draw people to him. And I think this day and age where most of these athletes are saying, it's all about me, put the light on me a little bit brighter, you know, shine the camera on me, you know, every opportunity that some of these guys have to make a name for themselves, and sometimes it's not because of what's being done out on the playing field. It's because what they're saying on Twitter, or you know, some other event or comment or you know whatever that they say that ultimately gives them kind of a headline, you know, with today's news. And I think Robert Griffin, he gave off this perception that he was like this ultimate team guy. Whatever you need me to do, coach, I'm going to do, and I'm going to kind of keep my mouth closed, and I just want to win football games. And I'm even going to go out there with my knee banged up the way that it is. I'm going to go out and try to win us this football game. And people loved that about him. They absolutely loved it. And yeah, especially when you talk about a quarterback that's mobile, because a guy that is picking up yardage and moving the chains for his offense by sacrificing his body every time he goes out there to run, I think fans are looking at that and saying, look at this guy. I mean, this is guy, he's out there earning his money. And now you have a situation where, you know, he's talking about a conversation that Shanahan and him had, and, you know, he's not pleased, I guess, with the way that they're handling him and his knee coming into this season, and he wants to play in the preseason, and he's talking about, you know, Shanahan's word, and basically that's all he's got. And it's almost, you get this feeling that this relationship is just like barely on its last leg. And if Shanahan doesn't do exactly what he says he's going to do, then I'm going to revolt completely. And you know, that's just not the message I think you want to send if you're Robert Griffin, because you know, people still are looking at you saying, look, you had some success, but you're still a young guy, and you're still wet behind the ears, and you still got to go out and prove to you know, the Washington Redskins fans and football fans all around this world that you're the player that we think you are. Because there have been many guys that have come through those NFL doors who have had a good year or two, and then you've never heard from them again. And right now I think people are looking at Robert Griffin and saying he could be a superstar. I mean, he could be a megastar. That type of he's got that type of star power. But don't start being the guy who revolts against everything that your coach says or what society, you know, says you should be or what you should do. Because at the end of the day, I don't think people like those those types of guys.
Well, Jason, we've seen that so many times with some of the rising stars within the NFL. And, of course, talking about RG3, I mean, he was a dynamic rookie, had a fabulous debut. But I really think this is about maturity, trusting Mike Shanahan's system. And you have to understand, see the big picture. I mean, the Redskins' success hinges on Griffin's health. So he's just got to learn to trust what Coach Shanahan is trying to protect him.
Yeah, and if he thinks Coach Shanahan doesn't want to win as well, I mean, he's crazy. These guys have to understand, and I know sometimes, especially when you get in NFL locker rooms, you kind of have the guys, the haves and the have-nots, the guys that are playing, the guys that aren't. And the guys that aren't, you know, they'll start sitting in a circle, and they'll start saying, well, you know, so-and-so is playing because of reason X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, it would be me who's out there. And, you know, you're scratching your head because you're thinking, you think our head coach doesn't want to win the football game? You think he wants to go 8-8 or he wants to go, 7-9? I mean, there's a lot of pressure on these guys to succeed as well. And I'm sure there's pressure on Mike Shanahan. I mean, when Daniel Snyder hired him, I don't think it was, with the goal of making the playoffs, maybe winning a playoff game and then, being home early again. He's hiring Mike Shanahan because he thinks that he can win a Super Bowl. And they're going to do, I think, what's best for the team in order to get to that goal. Now, I think they also realize, look, why would we sacrifice, or why would we put our star quarterback in harm's way when the games don't even count? I mean, nobody's keeping track of this anymore. At this point, I mean, maybe Vegas is still letting you put some money down, but at the end of the day, the NFL gods and the people that are handing out that Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year, they don't care about these first four games. So he shouldn't feel this pressure that he's got to get back out there. I know he wants to get back out there. Every player, I mean, that's kind of what you work for is game day. I mean, you put in all the hours watching film and practicing and lifting weights and the conditioning and, the stuff that nobody sees you as a player do. But you always have game day to go out and to look forward to. And, at this point, I mean, he's missing some preseason games. Big deal. I mean, life could be worse. You could be up in New England like Tom Brady, where he goes down and it's the same knee that he injured a couple of years ago. Who knows the severity of it? But, at any time, something tragic can happen out there on the football field. And you should almost see it as a blessing that here you have a guy that in Mike Shanahan that he knows what he's got with Robert Griffin, and he kind of knows, he's been around football long enough to know what a player needs and what he doesn't need. And right, if he's saying you don't need the first couple preseason games, then you don't need them.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, the fastest hour in radio. Of course, our radio website is eradiosports.com. You can check out all of Jason's good stuff at jasonpeter.com as we are talking about the NFL, Robert Griffin. And my question to you, Jason, I mean, you've had your share of injuries during your time in the NFL, those playing days. How do you think Robert will adjust to the inevitable, the big hits that are going to come? He's got that target on his chest. I mean, after having this type of surgery on his right knee, I mean, do you think he'll be able to make a full return?
Yeah, I think nowadays you're seeing these guys come back from these major knee operations. It's not the same obstacle or hurdle that you had to overcome 10 years ago. I mean, you're having guys now come back 6 months, 8 months after surgery, and they're going out and they're excelling in that first year when they're coming back, whereas guys, if they could come back 10 years ago, the first year was almost kind of like a wash. It was like, all right, we got this guy through this first year back from major knee surgery, but we didn't really expect anything. We just didn't want to take any major steps back. And it was kind of like that second and third year was when you could finally, or you were hoping that a player would kind of come back and be in his own element and feel comfortable enough running and cutting on that knee that he would then be a guy that you can count on for major contribution on your team. But now, I mean, with you know the Adrian Petersons and Griffin, obviously, is ahead of the schedule, and there's been some other guys that have quietly done it as well. It's just, I think it's for him, it will be a mental thing. It's, you know, you hear Peyton Manning talk about it last year in Denver. He said, you know, I won't really know how I feel until that first guy comes around the corner and ear holes me. And how's my neck feeling when I'm trying to get up? And I think it's going to be the same thing with Robert Griffin. You know, you don't know till you're kind of back in that fire again. And, look, he's, you know, these guys are built like Greek gods. You know, it's amazing the shape that these guys are in. You know, with modern medicine, these guys have every opportunity and I think physically every advantage in making successful recoveries. So I wouldn't worry so much. I think for him, it's just, like I said, it won't be so much a physical thing. Although the physical is obviously tied to the mental, but it's probably more of a mental thing. Because those trainers and doctors are not going to let him go back out on that field if that knee is not completely healed.
Jason, what are your thoughts about Donovan McNabb? Obviously, he did not have a lot of success playing for Mike Shanahan, and he's been very open about his comments, you know, saying that RG3 is brainwashed, these young quarterbacks, they think they know it all. Why does McNabb feel like that he needs to be the person to advise Robert Griffin III?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he feels the connection because they're both African-American quarterbacks, but maybe that, you know, when Donovan first came into the league, he relied a lot on his athleticism, and he made a lot of plays using his legs. And maybe he feels like Washington doesn't plan on taking their foot off the gas pedal when it comes to Robert Griffin and, you know, his athleticism. Maybe he feels like Mike Shanahan's just going to completely ruin this kid by, you know, running read options with him for the rest of his career. And I don't know why Donovan would do something like this. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's been on the other end of people questioning, you know, his talent, his intellect as a quarterback, as a black quarterback. I mean, we all remember when Rush Limbaugh made the comments about Donovan, and I doubt that Donovan appreciated those things that were said. And you know, I just because he was there in Washington for a year under Mike Shanahan and things didn't go well, that doesn't mean that it's not going to go well with RG3. And, you know, you got to look at the game itself, and it's changing. You know, these guys, almost every roster in the NFL has a mobile quarterback on it. Some of them have two and three. Even you're seeing up with New England, I mean, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and now all of a sudden, you know, you bring Tim Tebow in. You know, I don't think that Bill Belichick is thinking, gosh, I need some more media attention up here. I mean, the one thing that Belichick hates is So there's got to be a reason why he's bringing a guy in who'd be able to run the football at that quarterback position. And you look around the league, and most teams do have a player that fits that mold. So, you know, what can Donovan say? I mean, it's changing, and you should expect to probably see quarterbacks running with the football more. You know, it's all about moving those chains, and that's, you know, one thing that coaches, they're going to do what they need to do to make sure that those chains are moved. But, you know, also, that's part of what got Robert Griffin drafted so high?
Yeah.
You know, was his athleticism. So now what? Is a team supposed to say, well, you know, that's one of the reasons we drafted you, but we want to make sure that you play 15 or 20 years in this league? No, it's not realistic. I mean, you know, everybody is fighting to stay in the league as long as they can. And you know, what about linemen? I mean, should we just say that, you know, offensive linemen aren't allowed to cut block defensive linemen anymore because we want to make sure that all D linemen can play 12 years in the NFL? No, I mean, it's a physical game, and Robert Griffin chooses to run the ball as well, I'm sure, at times when it's not necessarily a called run play. You know, I think Donovan should probably just remove himself from the situation. Robert Griffin has made it clear that Donovan's not somebody that he really wishes to talk to at this point, and I think you got to respect his wishes.
Well, I think Robert Griffin III, he knows a little bit about what he's doing, although he was just a rookie last year, threw 4 touchdown passes that helped Washington to the first playoff berth in 5 years. So he certainly was impressive, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this kid, you know, he's one of the faces of the NFL, and I'm sure the NFL is kind of crossing their fingers here, saying, I hope we have this guy around for a long time. I mean, he's electrifying. He it wasn't just him alone, obviously. You had Andrew Luck and you had Russell Wilson, who really did a phenomenal job out in Seattle, as well as Andrew Luck. But, you know, people always they compare it to the draft in the 80s with Elway and Marino and who else was Jim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was those three. But people, you know, now comparing this last draft with those guys to that one. And, you know, you're talking about some successful guys that I think helped take the NFL to another level with Marino and Elway and Kelly. And now I'm sure that they're kind of hoping the same thing with these three guys. You've got three young, very, very intelligent young men that you can put in front of the camera or the microphone, and you can kind of almost bank on them not to say something stupid, I think, which is why people, I think that's why this RG3 Mike Shanahan deal has become maybe more of a issue than maybe it should, is because people didn't expect Robert Griffin.
It caught me off guard. I mean, I was stunned when I heard him say that, and I watched the press conference. I mean, I was like, wow, I was really taken back. Hey, Jay, let me jump in here because we're quickly running out of time. Another story that we have been tracking and monitoring. Let's talk about the honey badger. Oh, my goodness, our 11-year-old little Steven, he's so excited. So talk to us, a lot of hype about him. He's back on the football field. And do you think, what kind of impact do you think he's going to make with the Arizona Cardinals? He's staying out of trouble. We love these kind of stories, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, if this kid just keeps his nose clean and is able to go out there and have success, I mean, America is the land of second and third and fourth chances. And
you're a living testament of that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, it's, you know, people, they're very forgiving, and they love to see that story, the guy who's down in the dumps and is able to work his way back. And, you know, I was reading something the other day where one of the scouts for the Arizona Cardinals said, pound for pound, he's the best football player we have on that field. And that is,
wow.
You're talking about a rookie that had been there basically, you know, for 2-3 weeks of training camp, and he's making that sort of impact. I mean, those scouts, especially with a guy like him, where you don't know what could happen. I mean, you know, you come out and you make a comment like that, you better be pretty confident in what you're saying, because he is a guy that's had a lot of controversy and you know, a lot of stories that follow him by his own doing, by other people saying. And you know, for a guy who is just learning a new defense, learning new teammates, being in a new area,
learning to be clean and sober.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
I mean, you know, and that's something he'll have to get used to as well. I mean, I know, I'm pretty sure he'll go maybe right into the substance abuse program. I'm not 100% sure, but I think if he, and I believe, did he fail the drug test at the combine? I want to say that maybe he did, or maybe it was just the ones back at LSU. But either way, if he did get into trouble, I guess at the combine, then he would, I think, go right into the substance abuse program. But if he didn't, and it's just my memory, it's going with each day that passes, I forget something else. But if it wasn't a NFL related thing, and he's not in the substance abuse program, if he screws up and he does do something stupid, they will catch him and he will be in that program. And you know, it's something that you're not going to be able to bend the rules, or you're not going to be able to get away with stuff.
Well, it really seems like, Jason, that he is, you know, embracing the second chance, and he really wants to get it right. And he's missed, you know, playing football, and what a tremendous opportunity for him. We've only got about 60 seconds. Just quickly, your thoughts on Dez Bryant? I can understand why he would be so mad, so cross, you know, if Johnny Manziel ends up getting to play this year, because, of course, in 2009, the former Oklahoma State wide receiver was ruled ineligible after he lied to the NCAA about a visit to the home of Deion Sanders. And that kept him off the field. So obviously Dez has a very, very long memory. Quickly, your thoughts on Johnny Manziel, if he's been signing those autographs and getting some cash.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a shame. I mean, the rules are what the rules are. And Johnny Manziel broke the rules, and I think he's got to pay the price. And the NCAA should step up, and they should put down the hammer here. And whether it's right or wrong, I'm one of those guys that feels like these athletes, they should get something, and something extra. I'm not saying that you got to pay them $100,000 or whatever, but Johnny Manziel probably should be able to make some money.
Well, it's tough because he's so marketable. I mean, Jason, I mean, you were a high-profile college athlete. I mean, the temptation had to be there, too.
It is. Yeah, absolutely, it's there. But you also have to kind of say, what's more important?
That's right.
You know, an extra
$10,000
here by signing some helmets, or, you know,
you got to see the big picture
for my teammates and doing or making the sacrifices that they're all making as well. What makes me any better that I should be able to accept, you know, some, or be able to sign stuff? And now it's a shame because it's hurting college football in that you have teams all over this country now that are putting bans on autographs and what their players are allowed to sign. Players can't sign jerseys anymore. They can't sign helmets. They can't sign any of that stuff. And I think the issue, the problem is that people love college football because there's a lot of access to the players. I mean, you see them out on campus. You know, these aren't guys that are necessarily driving in limousines, and they're still riding their bikes to school, and people love that, I think, about the sport. And, you know, you have your diehard fans that have, you know, the jersey on the wall, the helmet, you know, in the glass case. And now, you know, a lot of places are saying no more. No more. And it's a shame that, you know, one guy who probably was raised with a silver spoon in his mouth is the reason why that some of these fans aren't going to be able to enjoy memorabilia like that.
Right. Of course. Yes. Dez Bryant certainly made a valid point that he'd be, you know, upset at the NCAA if Johnny Manziel is not suspended. But we'll see how all this plays out, because it's very interesting. It seems like each and every week, Jason, we end up talking about Johnny M, because it's something new every week, right?
I know. There's never a dull moment with this kid.
Jason, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment. We will be right back.